Hi, this is Perry, and you're listening to The Beauty Brains for Tuesday, December 30th, 2014. Hello and welcome to the last show of 2014 for The Beauty Brains. I'm your host, Perry Romanowski, and with me, as always, my esteemed colleague, Randy Schuler. How's it going, Randy?
Hey, Perry, I'd like to wish our listeners a happy New Year's Eve Eve. I'd like to, but that would be lying since we're not recording this on New Year's Eve Eve, but I guess that's all right. And it's like Homer Simpson once said, it takes two to lie, one to tell the lie, and one person to listen. So anyway, happy New Year.
Yeah, well, I mean, people are listening to this on the eve of the eve, right?
I would just still feel dishonest if we didn't have that full disclosure.
Actually, you know, here in Chicago, they have this famous party at the Union Station called Eve of the Eve, and where you get to dress up in tuxedos and go to this party. And I've gone to it a few times, and you know the reason I went to it?
Because?
Well, because many years ago, I needed a tuxedo, so instead of renting it, I bought one. But I calculated the math. I figured if I wore it enough times, then it would be worth my money to have bought it rather than just rent it every time. And so I had to wear my tuxedo 6 times before it paid for itself. And so I went to this party a few times just so I could wear my tuxedo.
How much did tickets to the party cost?
Like $100.
Good. Good thing you're not a math major.
You know, it's good logic. Hey, you know, I'm rather exhausted. I just got back from the annual Society of Cosmetic Chemists blowout in New York. I say blowout, I meant a scientific seminar.
Well, tell us about that.
Well, it was actually a great event. We do it once a year, and cosmetic chemists from around the country, and actually around the world. I know there's some European chemists who go there. And you go there and you listen to talks about a variety of different topics about the latest technology in cosmetic chemistry and formulating and regulatory stuff. You know, the kind of stuff that cosmetic chemists have to know about to make good products.
Hmm.
But really, those cosmetic chemists really know how to party. I mean, the whole thing.
Yeah, this is a giant boondoggle.
Well, it's not a boondoggle, but, you know, after 6 hours of sitting through lectures, you know, heady lectures. You're in the middle of New York City, Manhattan, getting, you know, trying to unwind, right? And
sure.
And of course, there's a lot of salespeople around too. So it's really exhausting. I mean, I was out till 2 or 3 a.m. like a few nights in a row, and then waking up at 7 a.m.
Wow, who would have thought the lectures would have been scheduled that late?
go figure. Actually, I had to do this hair course. I started lecturing at 7:30 a.m.
Nobody likes that.
I know, that was early, but I had a good crowd. I had like 30 people there, and while I had not ever done the lecture before, I think it went all right. And I worked in a little juggling and everything, too.
Hair care is a pretty broad field. What was your topic?
I did the whole field in 90 minutes.
Okay,
I did
very good.
Raw materials, shampoos, conditioners, and styling products.
Wow. Okay,
so
you go.
It was really high-level stuff.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. So the trip was kind of exhausting, but I got to meet with our editor, mm-hmm. you know, for our book, our first book, second book, really, Can You Get Hooked on Lip Balm?
Right.
So I met with them, and did you know Harlequin, our publisher, got bought out by HarperCollins?
I did read that.
So now we are HarperCollins people, too, I guess.
They didn't ask for any of our royalty money back, did they?
No, they did not ask for it back.
Okay, good.
Although I did have to pick up dinner, so... just kidding. But let's talk a little bit about the talks. There were some really interesting talks. I went to this, you know, there are a bunch of segments, so I couldn't go to all the lectures, but I went
sure.
to one about using computers to optimize cosmetic formulations. And this one supplier, Lanza, has this whole new system where you can, you know, go to their website, type in some characteristics, like some oils you want to use, and they'll spit you out a formula that you should use. Of course, it's got all of their chemicals in it, but it's an interesting technique. And then there's some guy did something about HLB, which is a mathematical system for figuring out how to create skin creams.
It stands for hydrophile lipophile balance, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, for you chemistry nerds out there. Of course, you won't learn that in college, but it's more practical stuff. But perhaps one of the most interesting talks was one about epigenetics and the effect that it's going to have on cosmetics. Hmm. So it turns out that, at least according to this presenter, that there are some things you can apply right on the skin, and they actually interact with the DNA to turn on the production of proteins or turn off the productions of enzymes or that sort of thing.
And, really?
Yeah, this lecturer thought that she thought that it has huge potential in anti-aging. Now, I got a little clip there, so let me play a little bit from her. See how this works here.
There's enough evidence over the last 5 years that they are epigenetic mechanisms, and some of your suppliers or our suppliers in the industry are starting to work within these epigenetic mechanisms, especially in the microRNAs. I've seen a lot of research come out in the last year from vendors that are influencing microRNAs.
So did you see enough in this talk, I mean, to indicate that this is legitimate? I mean, these things are actually from a topically applied product. They're you know, penetrating through the skin, getting down to the point, you know, into the cell nucleus where they can interact with the DNA and triggering genetic activity. Is that, I mean, seriously?
Well, I have to say, according to this author, or according to this presenter, and she put up, you know, she put up links, or not links, but references to like peer-reviewed stuff. Although she was heavy on the, you know, graphics and, you know, easy slides. So it wasn't really heady on like, you know, here's this peer-reviewed research and here's what they showed. She was mostly just kind of seemed to be talking off the cuff, but she's a firm believer in epigenetics and the influence that raw materials put on your skin are going to have on the growing cells below and their ability to turn on and off DNA. I have to say, me personally, I was highly skeptical of it. And some of the evidence she showed were like before and after pictures, which if you don't do the lighting right, I don't know. I didn't find it convincing, but it was interesting.
Okay. Well, it is interesting.
Yes. So there was another thing I did beyond the SCC activities and the social activities outside of the SCC. I was on the Dr. Oz show again.
Oh, excellent. This would be, what, your third appearance?
The fourth appearance, actually.
Fourth appearance, wow.
Yeah, wow. I'm like a Dr. Oz regular. In fact, when he introduced me, you know, he called me.
What's that?
He said, here's our favorite cosmetic chemist.
I can't wait for that sound clip. That's definitely going on the show.
Exactly.
You know, by the way, I just found out, I didn't realize this, but it's, you know, Dr. Oz. I thought it was like that he awes you, like it's Dr. A-W-E-S. It's not. It's just Dr. O-Z. I didn't even realize that.
Come on.
No.
Wow. That is amazing. Do you know, do you ever check out daytime TV?
Like, no, not particularly.
That kind of reminds me of that joke you used to tell. About post-nasal drip.
You mean that it's not... I used to think it was a breakfast cereal, but it's not.
Love that joke. So this is how the Dr. Oz thing went. I mean, the cool thing was that they just emailed the Beauty Brains, and they're like, hey, we have this idea for a beauty segment. You want to come on the show? And, you know, I just happened to be out in New York, so and that's where they taped. So that was cool. But they... they sent me over a car, picked me up at my hotel, and drove me there.
It was very, the very Ozmobile.
Cool. That's the Ozmobile. And then, I don't know, the way it works is you get there about 2 o'clock, and then you have about an hour of, I don't know, prep. I mean, I put on hair and makeup. And then they also try to rehearse with you so you, you know, So you kind of say things kind of the way they want to, and you're not mumbling. So, sure. Which it's actually quite helpful to get the segment down. But it's also a way to kind of it's very hard to prevent yourself from saying something you don't want to say. You know what I mean? So that's you got to get used to that. But that was probably about an hour. We recorded like at 3:30. Okay. My segment was probably about 5 minutes long. And we talked about beads in scrubbing beads in body washes. We talked about whether SPF in makeup is worthwhile, and we talked about argan oil and whether the argan oil in your products, whether you're really getting argan oil. So
what was the overarching theme of the segment?
It's busting beauty myths. Okay. And so there were just, you know, there were just a couple of these different beauty myths, and I was the expert on there to help talk about the science or whether they're true or not. One of the interesting things they did was the day before they came to that lecture that I gave on hair care, and they had a video guy just filming, you know, what they call B-roll, and you know, he had me do poses where, you know, he recorded while I was doing my lecturing, but he had me do poses where I would fold my arms real slowly and look out into space, like real. And I saw the clip they did. So they do an intro to me, and I'm like the expert, and you see me like folding my arms.
That's awesome. Too bad they didn't film you at 2 a.m. when you were roaming the New York bars.
I lost my heel. I was walking around, and the heel of my shoe came off. So
hey,
for
whoa! We weren't going to mention your cross dressing to the listeners.
Yeah, no, I lost a heel, and so I'm at this conference the entire time. Like, I'm walking around, people kept asking me if I was limping, but you know, I lost my heel. I know not where my heel is, but it's somewhere in Manhattan.
Wow.
So if our Manhattan listeners find a loose heel, it could be mine.
Yeah, I'll give Perry's home address out at the end of the show. So back to the Dr. Oz thing then. So it went well, and was there any indication of, you know, hey, we'll see you again or anything?
I got very glowing reviews. We got a follow-up email, thank you note, and it went well. I don't know when it's going to air. They said they would let me know when it's going to air, but but overall it's a good experience, and sometimes I'm not certain about whether we should do that or not, because I don't always agree with everything that gets put out on his show.
Right.
But I figure if we're telling honest stuff that is helpful to people, I mean, he's got a big audience, and I think it helps for us to do that. It's helping people more than, say, even our blog, right?
And I'm sure that you got a chance to ask people to buy our latest book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
I had that right in my pocket, but you know, that's... So we'll see.
Right.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know.
Bet you were going to miss that.
Speaking of beauty questions, we have one this week, don't we?
We do have a question of the week, and this one comes to us from Elisa.
Hello, my name is Elisa Ramirez, and I recently bought a product from Herborist. It seems a Chinese brand, and it's called Silky All Day Softening Cleansing Foam. And I was wondering why it is so good at removing the mascara, but it says that we have to use it also every day to clean our face. So normally I don't put makeup, and I don't know if this is the right product for me, because using it with the mascara, it seems so strong, but they keep saying it's okay. So what do you recommend? Thank you.
Well, thanks, Elisa. And to answer your question, we're going to talk a little bit today about how the different type of makeup removers work to give you an idea of what might be right to use on your face. So let's start there, Perry, and talk about how these things are put together and what they do.
All right. So we'll go with, let's begin with how do makeup removers work? I mean, if you think about it, makeup removers have kind of a tricky job to do, right? Unlike a regular face wash or even a body wash, the makeup removers have to be able to remove materials that are designed specifically to be water resistant, right? Like foundations or mascara. And just think how, you know, heavy and greasy some of those products are. But the solution isn't to just add stronger cleansing ingredients, because these can be really harsh on delicate skin of the face, and you know, they cause problems if you use them too close to the eyes, for example. But never fear, cosmetic chemists have a solution. In fact, we've developed, you know, two different approaches to mild makeup remover. The first one we'll call solvency. So solvency is using the notion that like dissolves like. And so in other words, if oils will help to dissolve other oils, and you know, water dissolves other types of water materials. So as an example, let's look at something like mineral oil, because it's really effective and it's used in so many products. Mineral oil is a solvent, which is what we call the thing that does the dissolving, and its atoms are held together by covalent bonds. So heavy or greasy makeup, which is the case, which in this case we use the term solute, which is the thing that's being dissolved. These things also consist of atoms that are hooked together with covalent bonds. So that means that mineral oil is similar enough to the other gunk on your face that it's going to dissolve it. And so it's a very simple explanation of like dissolves like. But so essentially, when you use these types of makeup removers, you put it on your face and then you wipe it off.
Let me try and explain that in a slightly less technical way, because covalent bonds and whatever. I mean, my head was swimming a little bit there. So I would just describe it this way. For this to work, the surfactant molecule has to send the oil molecule a little note that says, "Do you like me? Check yes or no." And then they know that they can dissolve one another. So that's how I would have described it.
That's a little different than I did, but same effect.
All right, so solvency, or this like dissolves like approach, is one way. The other way that we can approach makeup removal is what we would call detergency. And this is probably what, you know, most people are most familiar with when it comes to cleansing oily dirt. You can call it detergency, you can call it the soapy foamy method, whatever you like, but it involves using a surface active agent, like, you know, a soap or a synthetic detergent, to allow the oily makeup to mix with water, because normally oil and water don't mix. You need something to sort of bridge those two materials, and that's where we get the term surfactant, which means surface active agent. In other words, it's something that acts at the surface, the interface between the oil and the water, and acts sort of like a little chemical bridge so those two things can get together. So, and detergency is just sort of a broad term to describe that phenomenon. Now, you know, there's potential issue with this approach, and that's that, you know, anything that can solubilize or act as a detergent on oils has the potential for stripping your skin, because you want to remove the, you know, the dirty oil from your makeup, but you don't necessarily want to remove all the skin lipids, which are also oils. So
right.
There's kind of a fine line there of not overstripping skin when you're using the detergency approach to cleanse it. Now, in addition, some surfactants like sodium lauryl sulfate, which is commonly used in shampoos and some cleansers, it doesn't rinse particularly well, because it can interact with the proteins of your skin and leave behind a residue that some people find irritating.
Right.
So there is some issue.
And that ingredient in particular is, whenever we do irritation studies, that's the positive control, because almost everybody's skin will be irritated if you use sodium lauryl sulfate for too long.
Yeah, and don't rinse it away. So the fact that it binds with proteins a little bit is a negative aspect of that particular ingredient. Now, you know, compared to soaps, though, surfactants are still better, because surfactants typically have a pH in the range of about 5 to 7, so they don't upset the skin's natural acid mantle as much as soap does. You know, soaps can have a pH as high as 9 or 10. And we talked about this in a podcast several months ago, but when this protective acid mantle on your skin is washed away, or it gets neutralized by something with high pH, then the skin can be more easily damaged or infected, because, you know, without the mantle, the skin cells start to separate and become loose, and you get more moisture loss, so then your skin gets cracked, and then bacteria can get in. So you need to protect your acid mantle, which would mean, you know, stay away from products that have a high pH like some soaps do.
Right.
So, in fact, and I'll put a link in the show notes, but there have been a number of studies that have linked, you know, harshness to skin to certain types of cleansers. So anyway, using these two approaches we just talked about, solvency and detergency, cosmetic chemists can formulate, you know, probably three different types of makeup removers. So why don't we go through each one of those types, explain how it works, and then give the audience some specific product examples.
Sure.
That'll give them some idea what ingredients to look for. And then let's also break down the cost of these things so they can get a sense of how much they should spend on a makeup remover.
All right. No problem. I'll start. The first type one is a foaming or cleansing detergent type. So as the name implies, this type of makeup remover works by using soaps or surfactants to emulsify the makeup. Now, typically, these will be thin, watery solutions. They should be the least expensive since they contain a lot of water, but as you'll see, that's not always the case. The function or the formula of a cosmetic is infrequently related to how much the product costs. So here are a few examples in order of the least expensive to the most expensive. Now, since these products come in all different sizes, we've done the math for you to calculate out the cost per pound, so it's really easier to compare them. So Olay, the good folks at Procter & Gamble, they have the Olay Clean and Mild Makeup Remover Cloths. Some products, like this one, are sold as cloth pads saturated with a cleansing solution. This makes it difficult to compare costs because you'll get more uses out of a liquid bottle. But on the other hand, cloths and pads are convenient because you don't need a separate cotton ball or washcloth. And the cloths will help more than using just your hands, for example. These cost $3.99 for a pack of 20, so that's about 20 cents per use. It's based on aloe juice, glycerin, and a betaine, which is a mild surfactant. If you look at the ingredients, I'm not going to. Should I read the ingredients?
No, I wouldn't. I'll put them on the show notes, but don't worry about it.
Okay. The next one we'll look at is one from Philosophy. It's called the Purity Made Simple Facial Cleansing Gel and Eye Makeup Remover. This one is based on a couple of surfactants, which are commonly used in baby shampoos. So that gives you some idea of how mild it will be and how well it will clean. So this one is about $2.80 per ounce. So 7.5 ounces is $21 or $2.80 an ounce. And you'll see ingredients like sodium tridethsulfate, disodium lauryl amphoacetate. Then we have the Claudia Makeup Remover Cleansing Water. This product is $4.20 an ounce, and it's also based on glycerin and a betaine. And when I say betaine, it's a capromidopropyl betaine. That's the kind of thing that you look for.
We'll put all the ingredient lists in the show notes in case anybody's interested, but we're not going to read them all here. That's probably not that interesting.
Then there's the Estee Lauder Gentle Eye Makeup Remover, and for about $6 an ounce, you can get the Estee Lauder product. It uses another baby shampoo-type surfactant, along with a non-ionic surfactant and a polyol solvent. The nice thing about this one is that it's fragrance-free, as you really don't need fragrance in a product like this, since, all it's going to do is increase the likelihood of irritation, although some people do like to use fragrances on their products. So this one was $5.90 an ounce, or just about $6 an ounce. And then finally, of this type, we have the Givenchy Mister Perfect Instant Makeup Eraser. And this comes in a pen form. If you've got money to burn, this Givenchy product costs you only $300 an ounce.
God.
You know, it's expensive probably because it comes in the pen form. Now, we couldn't find an ingredient list for this, but their website says it's based on a coconut-derived anionic surfactant formula. You know, this could be anything. Yeah, most surfactants are coconut-derived. But, you know, coconut, it could be sodium lauryl sulfate. I mean, coconut is mostly you get lauryl from coconuts. Anything from, it could be even, something else like sodium methyl cochlear isothionate, right? So I can't imagine this product is really worth the money.
Well, I mean, it could be that, it could be a very mild coconut-based surfactant or something that some people find irritating, but they don't tell you what's in the product. I'll tell you, when companies don't list their ingredients online, it really pisses me off. There's no excuse for that, mother. I mean, clearly, they don't give a about their consumers. Ooh, wow. Look at us. We're Da Vinci. We don't have to tell you stupid b****s anything. I mean,
sorry. Whoa. That gets a little ornery.
Pet peeve of mine. Sorry.
I should point out that they're really under no obligation to list their ingredients on their website, but
they're under an obligation to provide information to their consumers.
That is true. And on the product, they have to list the ingredients.
Right, but you know what? If you're shopping online, which a few people do these days, you can't access that. And you know, I'm not going to sign up to spend $300 on something until I know what's in it. So shame on them.
I think if you knew it was in it, you might not spend the $300.
Yeah, it could be the case.
All right, and how about the type 2 types?
Yes, sorry, I'll calm down now. We've let's talk about oil cleansing products. So this type, you know, as we just explained, uses the principle of like dissolves like. And not surprisingly, then these are most commonly in the form of oily, viscous liquids because they're predominantly oil-based. Now they, you know, when I say oils, they could be true oils like mineral oil or olive oil, but they could also be oily-like materials like esters. You know, that's a chemical class that behaves like an oil, but it's not what we would call a true oil. These types of products are effective. You know, they work very well, and they have the advantage of providing some skin moisturization because you generally leave some of them behind. You know, you put the product on your face and then you may wipe it off. But it does leave a little bit of a film behind on your skin, which can help occlude and lock in some moisture. Now, you know, they have the negative of maybe not removing all types of makeup particularly well because you don't have any detergents to help sort of break that interface. And they may leave your skin feeling a little bit greasy. And they can even increase acne depending on what kind of oils they use in the formula. So there's some pros and cons about this type. Now, these products theoretically should be the most expensive because they don't have any water. Now, remember, you know, it's always cheaper to formulate a product with water as the first ingredient because the cost of water is almost zero.
Right.
Now, it doesn't mean you should spend more on these oil-based cleansers because you can get the same benefit from much cheaper oils that you probably already have at home, like, you know, baby oil or maybe even olive oil. But let me give you a few examples of these that are on the market. So first up, there's Mario Badescu, or Super Mario, as I like to call it. They're carnation eye makeup remover oil. Now, and this actually has carnation oil in it. I didn't even know that you could get oil from a carnation. I didn't realize that. But
if you just got to squeeze it really hard.
Apparently. We're still talking about the carnation, right?
Yeah, indeed.
Now, this one also contains sesame oil, which is good because that's an ingredient that prevents skin cancer and cures diabetes.
I love their show on PBS. Sesame Oil Street.
You stepped on the actual joke there, which was saying that sesame oil prevents skin cancer and cures diabetes, because if you recall, a couple of shows ago, we dedicated an entire program to sesame oil, and it doesn't really do those things.
Right, so. Right. But I think that was a little bit subtle, quite frankly.
All right. Well, anyway, this product will cost you about $3.50 an ounce if you're interested in Super Mario. Then there's the Body Shop's Moisture White Shiatsu Cleansing Oil, and that's based on a triglyceride, which is derived from coconut oil. It also contains some non-ionic surfactants. And when you hear us say non-ionic surfactant, the main takeaway for you guys is that it will be mild and it won't foam very much. And then it also contains some soybean oil. And this one comes in at about $3.57 an ounce. Then there's MAC's Cleanse-Off Oil, and that uses an ester, so it doesn't contain a true oil. Instead, it uses cetyl ethyl hexanoate. I'm sorry, it contains the ester, but then in addition, it contains a blend of oil. So it actually does have olive oil, jojoba oil, wheat germ oil, and rice germ oil.
Huh.
Now, surprisingly, they've decided to include some citrus extracts in this product, which I'm not too crazy about because in a leave-on product, citrus extracts can be irritating to the skin. So
and citrus is one of those ingredients where more people are allergic to that ingredient than
right. So why would you use those if you don't need to? It makes no sense. And that costs about $6.20 an ounce. So you're actually paying a little bit more for the privilege of getting potential skin irritation.
There you go.
And then finally in this category, there's Max Factor for long-lasting makeup. Now, this one kills me because the primary ingredient is mineral oil. So that means Yeah, that means you're spending, I mean, this, you know, like $6.50 an ounce for baby oil, which is ridiculous. And it makes me want to swear again.
All right, that brings us to our third type, which is cream cleansing. This type is kind of a cross between the first two. So these products are typically a mixture of water with some kind of oil. And since these, they're emulsions, they also contain a surfactant, which can aid in cleansing. Now, some cream cleansers are designed to be left on the skin, so, you know, they may provide moisturization too. Others are rinsed away. The classic example is a cold cream, is Noxzema. Remember that product, Noxzema? I mean, I guess it's still around, right?
Well, we actually kind of inherited that because
Alberto
used to work at Alberto Culver, ended up buying Noxzema.
Yeah, that was after I left. My salary freed up some money for them to buy that, right?
But we never really did much with it. And then, you know, Alberto Culver ended up getting purchased by Unilever. So I don't know who owns Noxzema these days.
Yeah, so you're intricately familiar with Noxzema then, huh?
Passingly familiar.
Or you just have a closet full on your way out. So let's look at a few examples. So there's the Pond's Cucumber Cleanser. This is tough to beat because of the price. It's only 89 cents an ounce.
There you go.
It's based on mineral oil, so it should work pretty well. Of course, they throw in the cucumber there to, because in spas, people use cucumbers.
It's very refreshing, I'm told.
Yeah. I love it in a mojito where you put a cucumber? No. Gin martinis.
But...
yeah. So anyway, that's the Pond's Cucumber Cleanser is a good choice in this area. There's the Sephora Collection, which is Sephora waterproof eye makeup remover. Now, this product is kind of disappointing because it's based on volatile silicones and hydrocarbon solvents, which could be too stripping, and it doesn't contain any oils that are going to rehydrate the skin. Now, the good news is this is only $2.50 an ounce, it contains an ingredient called cyclopentasiloxane. So when you see that, you know it's a vaporizing silicone. Then there's the Clinique Take the Day Off Makeup Remover for Lids, Lashes, and Lips. Clinique's product has the same problem because it's based on isohexadecane and cyclopentasiloxane, but it's a little better because it contains dimethicone, which is a good skin protectant. It's also a bit pricier at $4.40 per ounce. Then we have the Herboist's Silky All Day Softening Cleansing Foam. Now, this is an aerosol foam. And this is the product that Elisa actually asked about, this all-day softening cleansing foam. This one is relatively unique because it's an aerosolized foam. It has betaine, a mild surfactant to generate the foam, and glycerin and some oils to help remove the makeup. It does also contain a volatile silicone, which can dry out the skin, but there's plenty of other goodies in the formula that are going to help to rehydrate and offset that effect. So to answer Elisa's question, I guess this is mild enough to be used every day. There's nothing particularly harsh here. It costs about $5.60 per ounce, but it's hard to judge how good a value that is because it's a foam. The other problem with this product is that it makes some outrageous claims, which we're going to get to in a minute. And finally, in this category, we have the Their Real Remover, which is another emulsion containing isohexadecane, which could be drying to the skin. There's nothing in this formula that's going to justify the price, which is $10.60 per ounce.
By the way, is it just me, or is that a stupid name for a brand?
You know, they're real
brand, right? They're playing on, they've done, I mean, they've branched out now, obviously, but I think they started with mascara, I think was their first product. But
right.
It's the, oh, you
right.
know, it's.
Oh,
it's
they're
like a,
real, like the,
yeah.
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's
like, oh, now I get it, right, yeah. Yeah.
So I just thought that was a kind of a bizarre
dumb name.
Brand marketing campaign, but that's just me.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? There was one more I wanted to talk about, the Kate Somerville True Lash Enhancing Eye Makeup Remover. Because speaking of overpriced products, this one, it's $21 per ounce. Mm. And it's based on an unusual combination of polyols and a baby shampoo type surfactant. It contains ingredients. Wait, you gotta love these marketing people. But it contains Simlash 226 Complex, right? Which supposedly enhances eyelash growth. It, remember that Jan Marini product that was supposed to grow lashes? And they actually, the claim that it's going to grow your lashes is actually a drug claim in the United States. And Jan Marini got in trouble with the FDA for creating a product that was based on a drug product.
Right.
And it actually did have the effect, but if something has an effect, it's no longer a cosmetic, it's actually a drug. And so,
well, and in that case, you might say, well, I don't care if it's a drug, if it's going to give me longer lashes, that's great. But that particular active they used, which I believe was by Tamiprost, if I remember correctly.
Bimrocost is how I always said it. But
has the side effect of darkening your pupils.
Right. Oops.
Right. Darkening the iris, I guess. The iris is the colored part. Sorry.
Right. It was turning your blue eyes brown.
Right. So there can be some serious consequences to these drug ingredients, even in cosmetics, and who knows what is in, you know, Simlash 226 complex.
Exactly. So that's that pretty much sums up the three types of cleansing products. How about some of the claims?
Yeah, well, I mean, you just gave a classic example with eyelash growth. And in general, let me say a few words about makeup remover claims. And those words are, don't believe them. I mean, if the product says it'll remove makeup, okay, fine. You know, if it tells you it won't dry out your skin and provide a little moisturization, that's, you know, probable if you're using one of these oil-based products. But if the product claims to grow lashes like this Kate Somerville product, or, you know, to cool skin or depuff your baggy eyes or tighten wrinkles, then I would be very skeptical. I mean, you know, makeup removers are just typically not capable of delivering the kinds of ingredients that are even possibly, you know, could deliver those benefits.
Right.
I mean, think about it. These products are either rinsed off right away or most of them are wiped away.
Yeah.
So there's not going to be much.
Go ahead. Obviously, usually for anti-aging products, it has to remain on the skin to have a work, right?
Right, exactly. So if there's no opportunity for these active ingredients, assuming they even contain any active ingredients, if there's no time for them to penetrate skin, it's not going to do anything. So most likely, when you see these claims, the company is just exaggerating to entice you to spend more money on their product instead of using, you know, baby oil or something that's cheaper. So, you know, let the buyer beware there. So as an example, here are some claims from this product that Elisa asked about, this Herborist product. It says that it has a unique formula based on traditional Chinese herbal extracts. Yeah, okay. It gently purifies the skin. Well, okay, it's going to clean your face. I guess that's purifying. I don't know. My favorite is the application method stimulates microcirculation. Yeah, the application method is you rub it on your face with a washcloth or your fingers, and massage does stimulate blood, you know, flow. So, okay, fine. It says the pores open so that nutrients can be better absorbed by the skin. We know that's not the case.
Yeah. No.
And then, you know, then you'll see the specific natural ingredient claims, like mulberry extract adds to the extra gentle sensation and to satin softness. I doubt if there's any data showing that mulberry extract softens skin. So Elisa, if you're, you know, please tell me you're not buying this product because of these claims. I mean, it looks like it's a perfectly fine product to use. It looks like it's gentle enough. It's, you know, it's not the cheapest product, but it's not nearly the most expensive. So if you're happy with it, and, you know, I don't see any reason why you couldn't use it every day, but don't feel like there's anything particularly special about this one either.
So let's sum this all up. And picking the right makeup remover for you can really be summarized in these four steps.
Okay.
First, you should decide if you like the clean feel of a detergent-based system or the moisturizing feel of these oil-based systems. Mm-hmm. We've given you a lot of options here, and really we can't say this one works better than that one, right?
Right.
We can show you that these three type work a certain way, and you should try the cheaper one versus the more expensive one to start. But it's really a personal choice about what product you're going to use. Now, based on that preference, number two is based on that preference, look for either an oil-based or detergent-based products by looking at the first five ingredients. We put some ingredient lists in the show notes here to give you an example, so you can look for those kinds of ingredients. Mm-hmm. And then number three, ignore any of the claims about lash growth or anti-aging or wrinkles or any of these other things, because your cleanser is not going to do that. And then finally, you know, buy the cheapest product that fits your requirements. And I would start there. We've given you a lot of options here. Start with the cheapest. If you don't like that one, go up to the next less expensive one and move up there until you get to a product that you're happy with. You know?
Right. It's not to say that the cheapest will work as well as a more expensive product, but there's no reason not to start there and find out, because right. This isn't a product category you want to waste a lot of money on. You
know? Yeah, exactly. You waste your money on lots of other products.
Like, for example, you could waste money on our latest book, It's Okay to Have Lead in Your Lipstick.
And answers to other beauty questions you're dying to know. But of course, that wouldn't be a waste of money.
You can get that on our website. We'll autograph a copy for you. You can also buy it any place that ebooks are sold.
Well, it's been quite a year, 2014. I'm looking forward to 2015.
Yeah, and you certainly went out with a big bang on the Dr. Oz show. And remember, that's O-Z, not A-W-E-S.
Right, like the Land of Oz.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got, Randy. Have a great New Year's Eve of the Eve, and we will talk to you next year.
You too. All right, everybody. We'll be back with you next year. And until then, remember, be brainy about your beauty.
Ha, 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 ho, 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 and a couple of tra-la-las. That's how we laugh a day away in the merry old Land of Oz.